Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Life I know to compare.
Manifestation time, a space where intention becomes reality, where the focus remains upon the realization of goals, living with the knowing that all we request will come through the portal of manifestation and on time, resting in the fact that all these powerful events and situations will come to us continually from the realm of our fertile imagination. Subtly slipping into physical existence from the abyss of infinite possibilities. Just when the time is perfect, it will appear exactly as our minds create it, our mouths express it, and our actions display it.
Roll, roll, roll your boat gently down the street. Merry, 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 wife of golden dreams.
Rainy day study. Rainy day. Rainy, rainy.
Life is golden dream. What can we say? It's a golden dream. It's a new word here on the playground of life. We can call it like we see it, like we feel it, like we know it. You are in the play experience. I am Ambassador Sophia, and I'm always one with all beauty, all truth, all justice, and always all love. That was the infamous DeLille and Dakari with Row Your Boat, their very own rendition of that. Before that, you heard yours truly with Manifestation Time from Soul Journey to Truth, CD. And at the top, as always, you get to go into your pure imagination with my good friend, master musician, George Gorillaz. You can find his beautiful music on EV Zone. EV is in Victor Zone. I'm in the zone. Music.com. Welcome back as we continue to open to source, as we allow ourselves to go into that creative core of ourselves and touch it, feel it. That's what we're going to do today, because we're welcoming back my good friend, my comrade, true agent of truth, back here, right here. On the playground, Russell Washington. I've known him for many years, and the truth is that he's just what he is. I am that I am. He puts a wonderful twist on that and brings it back 360 degrees, as you will see. I love having him around me because sometimes I just don't have the words to say what I'm feeling. and it's been like that all my life. And when I met him, it was easy peasy sneezy to just link up and love him as I do. So I'm going to welcome him right now with open arms, Russell Washington. Russell Washington, as a matter of fact.
Thank you, thank you. You do know how to make a person feel welcome.
Well, you know, that's my job. My job here on the planet is to love completely And I'll be stern if I don't do that. Welcome,
okay.
Welcome.
Now, can you
welcome.
Hear me clearly?
Yes.
On the line.
Yes, I can hear
good.
You very clearly.
Good.
So, I know what I said, and I know what I meant, and I know what I'm here to represent right here on the playground. But what say you about Russell Washington?
Well, first, he is extraordinarily grateful. I am very, very grateful to be here and meet with your beautiful audience, your very well-informed audiences. It's really an honor to come back again and to be invited to share what I've worked on and developed. My life's work is really my passion, and that's really about guiding people, all of us, into a world that's about thriving abundance. So we have our work cut out for us, no doubt. But it is, it's an aspiration that really fits and meshes and aligns with our true human nature. So from that perspective, it'll probably be easy peasy. But we will see. You know, sometimes you can put in great effort, you know, we can put in great effort at things. Absent the suffering. I mean, we both know of people who have given birth with great effort, but there was not a lot of suffering with it. And sometimes there can be great effort with suffering. So we really have a selection that we can make. And it's important for us to move to a point where we can just choose that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what I have to say.
Mm-hmm. That was a mouthful. And so for those of you on the playground right now that weren't here last week with us playing, we've been talking about the open source, and today's topic is touching your creative core. And I love this topic. It definitely touches me. And, you know, in thinking about what you just said about thriving, you said thriving in abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so we hear and see so many times people are talking about striving, and just thinking about striving, and if you put the S there, you know, it's totally strife, you know,
mm-hmm.
And thriving is really the word that feels good in the core. And,
mm-hmm.
And speaking of the core, what does it mean to you for people to touch their creative core?
Well, we're going from where we are. Right? So to me, what we're talking about is a transformation that has us link into a more realistic, a more grounded understanding of who we are as human beings. And when I say understanding, I mean in that knowledge, that way of understanding which is very primal, okay? We are at a point where we can really reexamine what we've been told about what our nature is, what human nature is, who we are as a human family, can be redefined to a more realistic, more fundamental reality. I've heard a very august legislator from South Carolina the other day express the very heartfelt emotion that there will always be racial strife, and there will always be, we always have to be concerned about struggling in our racial identity. And always is a long time. It really is. And that sounds similar to what people said 250 years ago and 400 years ago about the conditions then. So I'm very cautious about some of the limiting beliefs that we have, and I encourage people to notice that those of us who are alive now, most of us can't claim to have invented any of them. And most of us who have our good senses, we know we inherited those ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So touching that creative core really means peeling back the layers, unlearning things that may no longer serve us, or actually recognizing that which we believe to be true, which never was true or is no longer true. When that occurred, that work really is the bulk of it. 90% of me, if I were trying to just randomly throw a number at it, the work of unlearning is 90% of the work. Because as soon as we cleanse our awareness of superstition, then who we truly are just flows up and out. Mm. So that's what it takes to touch it, I believe.
And you talk a lot about awareness, and can you say in some words, you know, however many you want, how does awareness work?
Okay, well, we exist, and we exist. Okay, so that's pretty well indisputable. What we assert here through the work that I do is that consciousness is ubiquitous everywhere, okay? And awareness is an individualized, so to speak, sphere of consciousness. It is what we think of as my awareness and your, or my consciousness or my mind. That's a sphere of consciousness within a sea of consciousness. It's like a bubble of consciousness within the sea, tuned and specialized to who you are as an individual, who I am as an individual. That, again, is connected with all the other individuals in existence. So awareness has a changeability to it. It expands and it contracts. It behaves in many ways, just like every other aspect of us, behaves in ways that we're discovering the entire universe behaves, or the entire network of universes behave. They expand and they contract. They change form from one thing to the next at regular cycles under predictable pressures and things like that. In response to things around them, there are predictable changes that the whole universe will make, or that aspects of the universe will make. Awareness is really that dynamic, okay? But from our perspective, it occurs to us as what we experience all the way down to the primal experience of knowing that we exist, experiencing ourselves as an existence and knowing existence itself. That's the quality we call sentience, yeah? Anybody that loves science fiction will say, hey, there's a sentient being. So all the science fiction heads out there know exactly what I'm talking about, but sentience is going to become a more and more common word. The awareness of existence and the awareness of your existence within existence. Awareness has another aspect at its primal core that we call sapience. Now, anybody that's heard the Latin designation, the scientific Latin designation for human beings, Homo sapiens, knows the word sapient and how it's used there. The root word of sapiens in Homo sapiens is sapient, okay? And I was so pleased to look up the etymology of that word and the background meaning. It means wise understanding. And so in the 1850s, some forward-thinking person, whose name I can't recall right now, it'll probably come to me in 3 hours, named human beings Homo sapiens, one with wise understanding. Now, back in the 1850s, that is not what we were thinking about ourselves, generally speaking. In most cultures, we were casting ourselves as born into evil, always flawed, and all that kind of stuff. And that's the model that some people will continue to find useful. Yes? But what I'm thinking is, since we have so much work to do, since we have a planet to clean up, wars to stop, hungry people to feed, you know, water to develop, water resources to develop and preserve, et cetera, et cetera. It might be useful if we had a very functional self-understanding that allows us to ascend into our full human potential. I would find that useful. So, and I've, by sharing this information and seeing how people respond to it, I've noticed that active, dynamically oriented people who love life have found it useful and have found a ways to use that, leverage that knowledge to get more out of themselves more out of the life circumstances than they really thought was possible.
Yes, and so is that kind of in the mix of why you say we must go beyond our mind?
Yes, and of course, People have been saying that for thousands and thousands of years. Anyone that's entered advanced level martial arts training, anyone that's entered advanced training in the arts, whether visual arts, dance, music, anyone that has done some of the advanced hypercognition work will recognize that there's a domain that is spoken of. And the gurus and all these kinds of people, the spirituality people, are really great at bringing this up. But what it really means, what we're really only just now ironing it out and being able to distribute the ideas about it in a practical way, in a not-so-mystical way. Mm-hmm. So, yes, there is a domain of experience functionality, really, is what it is, that supports mind, just as mind supports body, just as body supports action circumstance. So all we've done is downshifted into another gear where we talk about presence, beingness, I amness. Up until this point, the idea of beingness has been pretty much a philosophical curiosity. There is a branch of philosophy called ontology. It's a well-established branch of philosophy, the study of beingness, I amness. The great masters of life have talked about the I amness of us for centuries. But the path to it has always been a mystical one. Up till now. And what we'll notice over time in every domain of human endeavor, the aspect of that domain is going to every domain of human endeavor has a high aspect, which is esoteric, right? And over time, the secret unattained, you know, the secret knowledge, the sort of advanced knowledge, it goes from being esoteric to exoteric. It goes from being secret to revealed. It goes from being from metaphysical to physical. Right? You go back several hundred years, and the stuff that people thought was, oh, so spiritual, is just commonplace now, right? Doesn't make it any less spiritual, but it's more accessible, more understandable. Okay? So what we're doing is having that same experience now. The human family is having the experience of taking what we used to think of as the only one of the last remaining spiritual frontiers, and it's actually going from an esoteric kind of feel to an exoteric kind of feel, from a secret to a revealed, from a metaphysical to a physical kind of experience. Now, here in the West, sometimes we make the mistake of once we understand something, we pretend it's not very deep or spiritual. That may be, well, I'm saying that's an error. That's my opinion. Sometimes by understanding the thing better, by being more intimate with it, we notice we there's even more awesomeness about it. It's even more awe-inspiring. You know, notice that argument between the people having that creationist versus scientific. That argument is really about one side saying, well, we can't accept that you can explain these things because as soon as you explain them, you're trying to say that God isn't in it. And the question is, who said that? Why are you making that up?
Yeah.
Take a minute. Notice that sometimes when we understand things more profoundly, when we're more able to get more intimate with it, there's a switch that can go off that has it be even more awe-inspiring, more amazing, cause more devotion. And reverence. If you give it a chance, it can do that. Yeah.
Mm. Wow. And so people are, you know, what about our basic operating system? What does that look like when people, you know, they're every day?
Okay. Well, let's use a little analogy here. Almost everybody's familiar with the computers as they appear on our phone or on the laptop, right?
Okay.
So when we switch it on, there's a landing page, there's a home page, which is an interface, okay, which pretty much gives access to everything that you'd average everyday want to do on the computer, okay? That's like the average everyday waking, walking around awareness, okay? You step back from that, and you have the operating system, okay? The thing you install when you first get the computer, or Windows 5 or OS 5 and things like those operating systems tell what dictate what shows up on the homepage, and how your simple interface with the computer can work. That's like the deep aspects of mind, that operating system. Life has an operating system, okay? And most of us are really invested in plumbing the depths of that, understanding it fully, and it's a very important and necessary thing to understand. Okay, but unlike machines, the living operating system has qualities that some people might find amazing. It has the quality of being always ready to self-organize, okay, around the information which is constantly entering it and the information that is constantly being transmitted from it, from us. We're constantly receiving information and transmitting. We are built as transceivers. And the mind self-organizes around that when it's left to do that, okay? Then you go back one more layer in the computer system and you find something called the machine language, which is the ones and zeros that always, that in fiction, we always see the streaming ones and zeros when they talk about Matrix and all that kind of stuff, and it's a popular thing. But everybody knows that basic machine language is just ones and zeros, ons and offs. But understanding those, very few people relative to world population really know how to manipulate, build, design from that level. But that's where all the action is. Okay? The machine language helps design, is what is used, to design your operating system. Your operating system controls your interface that you find right on the surface there. Okay? So what we're exploring in this work is that machine language level. And I refer to that as presence or I am-ness, which is kind of a bulky thing to say, or beingness, which is kind of a real weird thing to say, in my mouth anyway. So I will often use them interchangeably, but very often you hear me refer to presence. And the ones and zeros of presence are sentience and sapience. In deep intercourse with each other. Our awareness of existence, our awareness that we exist within existence, sentience, and the tendency for wise understanding.
Okay. And is that the core language? Is that the core language, would that be similar to what people are saying is your soul language, your deep source from the source? You're hearing from the source of yourself?
I would say so. Now, you know, when we go across the metaphysical world, what soul means, that's one of the, it has many different meanings as consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in English, we don't have so many words that have a multiplicity of, you know, like in the Inuit language, there might be 22 words for snow.
Mm-hmm.
Each one with a fine distinction around the quality of that snow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other languages that have where something is very important, where there are different words to designate the same thing. We use soul for a lot of different meanings, right?
Okay.
It could be referring to unctuous, down to earth, delicious food.
It could be
referring to a certain kind of music. It could be referring to the relationship between the personality and the higher self, the so-called higher self.
Right.
From that context, I would say yeah. You can pretty much put those two together.
Mm-hmm. So then the presence, because you know I just you know that's me. I'm always right there with that. I love that. That's one of those words that really do go to my core. And so that presence, can you tell us what you think? What you see that is, and then give us some examples in a day-to-day basis of what that would look like if you were present, if you were in the presence, of this presence.
Okay. Well, saying what it is would take me a little outside my depth. What I'm pointing to is that it's there. And I can describe its identity. You know, I can describe it to a certain degree, but to be able to say what it is entirely would be beyond me, okay? But in answering the second part of your question, working from presence, working with presence, as presence, one will have a similar kind of experience to what was had when people were beginning to understand the power of the human mind. It increases your leverage in life. So the net effect that you're going to be looking for, a person will be looking for, is to be able to challenge accomplishment and get more with less effort. That's the first money spot, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How that occurs is when mind is released from the various burdens that we put on it, when we only rely on mind, it begins to function more according to how it's built to function. It will self-organize. And so instead of having to regret and worry, fret and manage, there's more flow. So the idea of flow is part of every high-order spiritual discipline, no matter which direction you look. You know, in Middle East, in East Asian philosophies, you hear the word called satori, which translates into effortless flow. And more and more people are talking about in sports, it's the zone. Okay? And idea of getting in the zone, it's pretty random most of the time. You know, it's just, you know, you just burst into it, and all of a sudden, time is doing what you want it to do. I remember reading one of the great quarterbacks talk about that last 10 seconds of the big game. It might have been one of the older cats, Joe Namath, or one of these guys. How after the snap, time, everybody else seemed to slow down, right? And he had all the time he needed to pick his target, throw the ball, and hit the spot. He knew exactly where his receiver was going to be, even though the receiver did some very exotic maneuver that they hadn't even practiced before. He still hit the spot where the receiver was going to be. When he went back and looked at that, he couldn't explain how he was able to accomplish that particular throw. So what we're talking about is taking that kind of thing progressively more and more as you practice off random and being able to downshift into it. So we're talking about putting a transmission in so that you can shift into a state of awareness, higher, lower, more so at will than before. How often can we use that? We could have used that, what?
Oh, absolutely.
All those years ago when somebody got mad and sent the whole country to war because they were pissed off.
Well,
downshifting would have been good then.
That's right.
When you're cooking, when you're making love, when you're doing your homework, when you are driving along the city streets, when you are involved in an internal investigation, in the art of self-discovery, it's very useful to be aware of this level. Okay?
Yes.
So it's not just about outward engagement. It's about inward engagement as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in terms of practicing with this. As you know, Ombasa, we're just now exploring the net outward effects of working with presence. A lot of my work has been with go within and make corrections with regard to health and wellness. A vast majority of my experience with my own work has been helping people overcome degenerative disease, relationship problems, and things of that nature. And we're noticing that people are able to use these same concepts for affecting transforming outside circumstances, resolving conflicts, beginning to bring in more wealth. That's a big focus from this point forward for me personally and for the people who are in the inner circle now. It's a fun exploration. It's just beginning. But there's really no limit to where it can be applied, any domain of human endeavor. In the artistic expression, I've seen people come out of dormancy with their art and then become super prolific and then look up and like, wow, that didn't even seem like it was taking anything, whereas before I couldn't even get started. Each person selects how they will express that new level of functionality according to what is most important to them at the time.
Got it. We're going to talk more about presence because I have some other thoughts about that. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the other
side.
All right.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Are you about work, 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 and no play? Adults have a tendency to stay busy and neglect their own health and well-being, while successful people take regular breaks, vacations, and timeouts to play, rest, rejuvenate, and tap into their creative selves. Play and Heal is a unique opportunity for you to host a life-changing event in your very own living room, an event that is especially designed by you to facilitate the releasing of stress, balancing the mind, body, and spirit, not only for yourself, but of your friends and family, too. Whether you create a soiree, a ladies' night, or couples event, these events are infused with the best of care, informative health information, and tools for stress maintenance that will shift how you see yourself and empower you to begin to work in cooperation with your best life. This event is sure to put a smile on your heart and send your spirit soaring. To book your Play and Heal event today, go to playandheal.org or you can email us at info@playandheal.org.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Welcome back to the Play Experience. If you've been enjoying this wonderful conversation we've been having with Russell Washington, Russell, welcome back. I am just so, I'm really thankful because, you know, there's a lot of times things happen in life and, you know, we just kind of like, oh, yeah, that happened to me. Or you might get excited about it that in the moment because it was phenomenal or it had some phenomena going on with it. You don't really, you know, get to really explore it, you know? And right here, you know, right now on the playground, this is what we're getting to do. And I really appreciate you for joining us today, really. You know, we were talking about presence. And if anyone has any comments or questions, feel free to join us on this playground and call in. The number is 347-426-3346 and just push 1 on your keypad and we'll get to you as soon as possible. So we're talking about presence and, you know, when you were speaking, I started thinking immediately about the times I was in the car incidents and all the times that I was in the car incidents, every time there was always this slow-mo, you know, this slow motion, you know, that happened. And every time, you know, I did what I do, which is to call on the forces, to call on the angels, you know. Mm. And that presence, you know, that I felt at those times, it was so thick, You know what I'm saying? It pulled it right in immediately, and, you know, things shifted, click, 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 click. You know, what would the car was turned one way and it turned this way. You know, those type of phenomenal things, you know, that's happened to our parents. You know, it happened to my mom was telling me a story about it. My dad was telling me a story. And all of them were different situations. And it doesn't have to be a car accident, quote-unquote, incident. It could be any situation where that call to go inside. You know, I had a situation one time with customs I had to deal with, you know, and I had to deal with presence, yeah, mm-hmm. If you really go in that core and deal with it. Now, would that be a consideration of the core language when you're going in and speaking into that touching your core, your creative core?
The short answer is yes. And the beautiful thing about very intense circumstances, circumstances that are maybe short-lived especially, is like what you noticed when you said the click, 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 click. They those times focus the attention and the intention. They allow us to focus our intention and attention without distraction. And what occurs in those moments, typically speaking, is that a profound alignment occurs. Every aspect of your being gets in cooperation. All the petty squabbles that were between the senses and the mind and the presence and the mind and the body and the aches and pains, all that disappears.
Absolutely.
And they all get into alignment. Now, what is being discovered is that living beings have the ability to enter a state which is very similar to superconductivity in materials. When in material science, when we call a material a superconductor, that means that under certain conditions, it will allow the flow of electricity through it without resistance. Okay? So there are states that living beings, especially humans, I'd say, I'm taking a survey across all life, but let's talk about human beings. There's a state that we can attain which is very similar to superconductivity. We can just call it human superconductivity, okay? Where what you need to do, what will be normally dictated by the mind, is spontaneously organized. Okay, the body ascends to its full potential. We've all heard the story of the little old lady that lifted the Volkswagen. So the full physical potential opens up, okay?
Right.
And which way to turn, which way to know, what's going to happen next, the alignment of instinct, intuition, and intellect is directed by presence. And that's where the presence drop is in that bucket. But you look in situations like what you were talking about with the automobile incident and all the other ones you've heard spoken of, they were normally seconds long, right?
Yes, it was
okay.
Seconds.
A lot happened in that time. Very intense.
Absolutely.
Engagement period. That shifting into that state of high functionality, high competence, super high awareness, that's part of our natural birthright. Now, up to now, it has taken very, very intense situations for us to know how to select that or to be able to select that spontaneously. We've gotten to the point in our maturity as human beings where we have the option to learn how to downshift into that at will.
Gotcha.
Without a crisis.
That's pretty rich. Now that is very rich. And when I think about, you know, what happened for me, you know, at that time, you know, like when it was the one time when it was the customs situation, you know, before that, I had for months been dealing with this issue with my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not going away. I don't care what I did. It was just one of those things where it was not going away. No way, no shape, no how. And mm-hmm. Whatever I did, I went to a therapist, I went at whatever. All my mind over matter stuff was not working for this particular issue. I found out later where it came from, But I, you know, what thoughts I kept for that. But it was clear to me that when that incident happened, and I went into that presence and I dealt with that presence, when I came, I mean, immediately that pain was gone. In other words, when I recognized, when I was paying attention to it, it was not there. You know, it had actually disappeared. You know, and that's, you know, and when we think about the times when we're in these types of situations and how we can direct the energy and how we can conduct ourselves, you know, puts another spin on conducting, conducting the energy. And it's like, you know, there's so much to be said about our everyday experiences that we can actually shift in a moment's notice. And as you said, you know, we don't now have to wait for those intense situations to happen, you know, for us to direct our energies and use that super, 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 supernova-ism, you know. Super-duper-nova-ism, you know, because just thinking about the denial of our power, you know, the things that have not been scratched, you know. And that's what we're talking about today. And I'm really, like I said, I can't say it enough how much I'm appreciating, you know, just bringing this forward.
Great.
You know? So it's sort of the advantages of having a core language and touching that core language, you know, is because it is a powerful place to operate from, simply put, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why we call the people who do the work operators.
Operators. Okay.
Yeah. Interesting that you would bring up supernovas, and this goes back to the concept of unlearning. I mean, it's not just sometimes it's stuff that we currently hold to be true, even in the highest levels. I mean, if you talk to an average astrophysicist, the collapsing of a star into a black hole, they refer to that very commonly as the death of that star. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But what we know is that what occurs is that every black hole eventually gives rise to a nebula, right? A supernova occurs, it collapses back down into a black hole, and what emerges from that action is a nebula. And what we know nebulae are is nurseries for new stars. So actually that formation of that when a star goes supernova, it's not dying, it's reproducing. So there are many things that we address in our common life which are addressed from the limited kind of perspective that we've had, and we can cling to those to the point where they wind up being superstitions in our lives, and we miss some of the awesomeness of what we're dealing with in life.
Yeah, and it's powerful, too, because you talk about, you know, when you think about mastering the mind, when we learn to master the mind in the daily life, it means pretty much unlearning everything we, you know, taking it back to the basics, you know, and it sounds like the benefits would be, you know, you can get more done with a little bit of just a teeny bit of effort, you know, just because you're tapping into that.
Yeah. Let me give just a very common example of that, in terms of, because it is important to train and master the mind. So because we're talking about presence, doesn't mean that for example, when we started talking about using and working and directing the mind, nobody said, well, some people did. But we noticed that there was still an urge to train the body as well. We just added to it. So to give you an example of a thing that is common in mind is just reading, everyday reading. Now, we have a problem in America, especially, with getting reading competence up. But what a lot of people don't know is that as soon as the eye lands on the page, the material is read. All of those fancy, high-priced courses that you can get or take or go to, that's basically what they teach. So 90% of the work of teaching photo reading or super learning and all that kind of stuff is reminding people that they taught you that you have to read one word or one sentence at a time, or one paragraph at a time. But in reality, the second your eye lands on that page, it's read. You just have to trust that it's in there. And so most of the training is about letting it reemerge, because it's been recorded. Most of the training is about allowing the playback and trusting that it will be accurate. But this is a very simple idea about how the mind works. That's how spontaneous self-organization, that's what spontaneous self-organization gives rise to, that kind of efficiency. But when we muscle along from word to word, when we don't want to, sometimes you want to read from word to word because it might be a beautiful fiction novel and you want to form those images and build the scenarios that are being written about. But say it's something dry and boring and technical and you want to figure out how to fix that computer or change that transmission, you can read it as fast as you can turn the page or click the click. So there's a lot of basic stuff about mind that we're still behind the zero on as a culture. So this conversation we're having about presence is really, it's really a cutting-edge conversation, okay? But there is a lot of value in having it at this time, even though people might be feeling the need to struggle to get ready for it. If you're out there listening and you're allowing yourself to feel confused, one of my instructors used to say, real confusion is that feeling that you get when you're learning something. So don't worry about it. if you're encountering something brand new, you should be confused. It will pass. You know, when we're taking a journey across the ocean, there's a time when you can see the shore you departed from, but eventually that shore will disappear on the horizon. Then you turn around to look forward, and there's no shore. It will be a while before you see the shore that you're traveling to.
Mm-hmm.
When we're in the in-between, we just have to have confidence that we're getting there.
Mm. Okay. Now, we have a question. Someone is asking, can you give one simple thing for them to operate from a place of presence?
Sure. Notice that sometimes, that's a very broad question. I'm just going to pick something very simple. We have wonderful moments of festivity occurring throughout the day. Somebody cuts us off in traffic. Somebody stomps on our toes. Somebody says something that we don't like. And all of a sudden, we're in a mood. It might be something that we don't show on the surface, but sometimes it could be a very intense mood, a mood that feels off harmony for us. That's what I said, pistivity, anger, resentment, jealousy, envy, physical pain, you know, a sense of worry or regret. All these things can arise at any moment at these minor incidents in our daily lives. So think, listener, of a minor upset, something that may be no consequence. Somebody left the dirty dishes in the sink. And that brought up feelings of disruption, out of harmony, whatever emotional label you want to put on them. A very simple thing to do is to just notice that feeling. Just notice it. As opposed to pretending that it's been something that's really being done to you, or imagining that all the other things that we begin to imagine when we start to get annoyed. Just notice it, okay? And feelings like that are there to get our attention. But that's really all they're there for. When we dwell on them, they get more intense. Allow that feeling to come up all the way without judgment or analysis. Just let it come up and up and up. What you'll notice is it wants to dissipate. It wants to leave. In the very same way, when we take in physical matter for nourishment, our bodies will extract what's useful from it and release the rest. We relieve ourselves of what is no longer required. The disharmony is the part that's not required. That disharmony is part, the energy of that is ready to release. What will occur is you let that release. So notice that into that room. Feel that feeling. Let it come up. And at its peak, as long as you're not with regret or worry or any kind of analysis about it, it will release. Then go back and think of it again. Re-experience it in your imagination. And release it again. Relieve yourself of it again. Eventually, you will be in the presence of that thing which used to piss you off and have no reaction. I'm not talking about a numbed, like I just, you know, just a numbed kind of cynical, just it won't be tweaking you, okay? What happens when we do that is we can come back to that situation with more inner resources, more resourcefulness, more imagination, more ideas about how to make it work for us. We can eliminate pain faster to the point sometimes where it feels like the pain didn't even occur. With just this simple technique, I've helped people go from getting a degenerative disease diagnosis called terminal to getting a clean bill of health. Having them do just this thing, on starting off with the minorest, least incident. You don't start off, hey, do this with your big C word disease. No, you start off with how that person got pissed off because somebody left toothpaste on the toothbrush. First of all, they shouldn't have been using that person's toothbrush. But then you use somebody else's toothbrush and you leave toothpaste on it. Are you kidding me? The stuff like that that we can practice on. We get triggered by the most wonderful little things which are really not consequential. Practice on those.
Okay, that was very good. So, well, as usual, it's time to wrap. But you know what, y'all? By popular demand, we are going to bring Russell Washington back next week because we're just not done. Are you done? Do you feel complete?
Plenty.
All right. Well, you do feel complete. Oh, we're done?
I got plenty to deliver. I got a whole
truckload.
Oh,
okay. So we're not complete. Okay. I just wanted to be on the same page. So, everyone, come back with your bells on because Russell Washington will be here with us next week. So, Russell, I thank you once again. I'm giving
my
you
pleasure.
Big hugs, big love, and I will see you on the playground next week. I love you. All righty. See you later. All right. Oh, my goodness. This open source is something else. I'm telling you. Y'all didn't get your questions in today. Well, a few people did. I didn't get to all of you. But next week, we will have a perfect opportunity, as usual. So we're going to take a moment and breathe and go out with George Gorillaz. Again, you can find his beautiful music at evzonemusic.com. I love you, I bless you, and I really thank the Creator for you. On Basau.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.